Good Sunday afternoon. Welcome to the Community Matters podcast. Today is a somber day as we look back on the terrorist attacks and recount the events of the 9/11, again, terrorist attacks, and how the war on terror quickly became the war on reality. We want to share in the mourning of the thousands of lives that were lost that day. We continue to honor their memory, but we also want to acknowledge the senselessness of their deaths and the events of that day. And we're going to follow the money and examine how this American tragedy became the biggest money grab in U.S. history long before Trump showed up. So let's talk about it. I hope you'll join us today. Hit like and share as you enter the room. And, you know, let's have a conversation today. And we'll be back right back after this brief tribute. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I am in the studio room today, but I'm a little off balance. So if I miss your comments or something like that, please forgive me. I'm trying to see. Hello, Nikita. Let's see. Who else is in here? Well, let's, you know, like I said, hello to everyone. I hope that you guys are having a blessed Sunday. Today is my mother's birthday, her heavenly birthday, so it's a little somber day for me. But We are here, and we're talking about the 9/11 attacks, and where were you when 9/11 happened? And I want to have you guys call in and talk about where you were. This is one of those events where people all over the globe really remembers what they were doing, where they were, and remember this day so vividly. And this is important because what has happened over this 20-year time period is that you have sort of a revisionist history of the events of that day, and they're beginning to censor various aspects of what actually happened. And one of those things that became clear to me as I began to go back and look through some of the data is that I noticed how President Bush, that would be George W., has been rebranded. He's got like this grandpa image and he's hanging now and all of those things. But I can remember, and most of you who watch me can remember a time when he was essentially hated and was the worst president that we ever had long before Bush came. I hope you guys can hear me. Let's see. Nikki is saying something. Nikki says, I was at home in the bed and mom called just in time to see the second plane. Yeah, that's true, Nikki. I was listening to your podcast yesterday. And I was like, wow, you know, I bet a lot of us had a lot of the same experiences. I was, at that time, I had a printing company in Oak Park. And I was getting dressed that morning, going to work, watching Channel 2. And I believe Alan Lee and Lucy Liu, and those of you who remember that time, Rhonda Walker was on, who's on Channel 4 now, was on Channel 2. She was doing the weather on Channel 2. I was watching Channel 2, and the first plane had hit, and they were, you know, just like all the other live news broadcasts, they were trying to figure out what was going on. Was this an accident? Everybody thought it was an accident. And literally, in live, real time, we saw the second plane hit. And when that second plane hit, it was obvious that we were under attack at that point. And so, you know, it's very interesting because I think a lot of us had the exact same experience that day. I was on the phone with my niece who served in the Army, and she said it immediately after the first plane. She said, no, those are terrorists. I'm like, who would have the guts to attack us on our soil? It was just unimaginable at that time. And so, you know, it was quite interesting and devastating to watch those buildings. I think they said the North Tower crumbled in like 10 seconds. I mean, it was so quick, and it was just a really eerie, almost apocalyptic thing to watch happen, and seeing all of the dust and things, you know, I mean, those buildings like came down like instantly, and watching the people running through the streets, covered in the dust, couldn't breathe, trying to get away, because you can imagine these were the tallest buildings in the world at that time. And so you can imagine when they came down, you had to get out of even, you know, you couldn't be remotely close to them because it would have killed you. The debris and all of that alone would have killed you. Then you had people jumping out of windows, and you could see that on live TV that day. Where people were literally jumping to their deaths because when the first tower was hit, I think it was hit at like 8:45 in the morning. And when that tower was hit, it hit at the, I think at the 80th floor on the first, on the North Tower. And so when that built, those buildings were 110 feet tall. So the people on the upper floors were trapped. And so because they couldn't get out of the building for whatever reason in the panic of the moment, they just started jumping to their deaths. And it was crazy. Nikki, what is Nikki saying? She's saying watching the buildings collapse was itself unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible. And I don't know, I know that you covered this story as well, Nikki, on yesterday. When you were doing your research, how well were you able to find video footage? Because you can't even find that footage anymore. There are some channels on YouTube that have it, but you really can't even find those images or those videos anymore. So it was a awful day. Lots of things happened, but unbelievable. Maybe I'll say unbelievable. Most unbelievable is what was going on behind the scenes. 3,000 people lives were killed, perished in those attacks. I think 2,600 of them were in the actual World Trade Centers themselves, not including the Pentagon. About 150 of them in the military headquarters at the Pentagon, and then the people that were on that Pennsylvania flight, who were heroes, because if you look at the tribute that I did at the beginning of this recording, this broadcast, it's showing you the video footage, which was the only one I could find, of that field that was burning in Pennsylvania. Those people counterattacked the terrorists and fought them and brought that plane down in the middle of a field so that nobody else would be killed. And so they were the heroes of that day. But I want to talk about Bush and his Klan, and some of the things that were kind of going on behind the scenes, because as you know, we all are in a war in Afghanistan, a 20-year war, a war that has gone on for 20 years. We are just now pulling our troops out of Afghanistan. Biden is under heavy criticism for that retrieval. However, I submit to you today that this is absolutely the right thing to do. What has gone on for 20 years has been an atrocity and a total dishonoring of those people that died that day. And so we want to take a look at that. And I'm kind of like in a, you know, I'm like, where do I start? Where do I start? Because it's so much. So there's no way to cover it all. But I want to give you little bits and pieces of information that will help you. And I want you guys to go and look into this stuff yourself. Go and do your own research, because what is happening now is a result of 9/11, not just the war in Afghanistan, but your insurrection on January the 6th. All of these things are tied in. They are all connected. And so we need to talk about this. We need to know exactly what is happening and how it's happening and all of that stuff. And I also want to get the phone lines open. Like I said, I'm in the studio office today, but I tell you what, I have had so many problems as usual. trying to get going. I don't even think that I'm live on the satellite radio, but I'm going to see if I can kind of get that going while we're talking. So, but what I want to do is go ahead on and take a look at all of these things and how they are connected, because what ended up happening ultimately is that Bush ended up attacking Saddam Hussein. And a lot of, as I began to recall and recount all of the things that were happening at that time, I kind of started seeing a correlation between the Trump playbook and the Bush playbook. It's almost like they are more alike. They are very much alike in their histories, their family histories, and all of those things, from the failed business ventures of Junior Bush and all of those things, and their business ties with foreign governments and all of those things, almost identical to Trump and his family, and even his presidential run, the fear that they have stoked, and the tapping into. Bush was actually the first to tap into white rage, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. It began to kind of make sense to me what we're dealing with now, how these extremist groups are spiking again, because, and actually the hate groups have been growing for the past 10 years consistently since 9/11. Because what happened is that, remember, they would have the red and blue and the green and the orange and all of that stuff, and they would be on the news every day giving us terror alerts and all of that kind of stuff, and they would have it in the red and then in the orange, and it was all to stoke fear. It was all to stoke fear in the American public, so that they could do what they ultimately wanted to do, which was spy on us through the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act opened the door to all of us, and we were so afraid because we had never, you know, besides Pearl Harbor that happened in the 40s, that was before my time, and most of our time that was around during that day. But even still, you know, they had us so afraid that we were willing to agree to anything. I remember the documentary where they were talking about the congressman, even our own Detroit Congressman Conyers from here in Michigan, said that the congressman didn't even read the bill. They just signed off on it. You know. So all of these doors were open as a result of 9/11. And when they did that, they opened the door to all of the stuff that we're fighting against in 2020, even the vaccines. Because what they did is they broke the public trust back then. And so you begin to see the correlations in drawing the lines and connecting the dots to see how we got to this place, how we came to a place where we have the big lie. Well, the big lie started 20 years ago. Okay? Because what happened is that Bush and his family, and I want to hear from you guys today. I'm going to put the number up. I gotta get the phone lines open before you guys start calling though. But we have to remember at that time, and many people caught on to it, but the majority of people who were, you know, more politically savvy didn't understand it at the time. But some people did question why we were attacking Saddam Hussein, because Saddam Hussein had never, now Daddy Bush, HW, had given Saddam Hussein a bunch of weapons, He gave him a bunch of weapons, but Saddam Hussein had never threatened the United States, and his people had never killed an American. They were of absolutely no threat to us. So why did Bush, Junior Bush, W. Bush, attack Saddam and let Osama bin Laden go? They were fully aware that it was Osama bin Laden. The Taliban leaders that have taken over Afghanistan in the past few weeks, since the United States have been withdrawing from Afghanistan, they were here having meetings with Bush 20 years ago, the Taliban leaders. Now, they didn't want American interference, but they weren't enemies of ours in that sense. So, so there had to be a reason. There had to be a reason why Bush redirected the American public, lied to the public, and redirected our attention towards Saddam Hussein. Well, it was money. It was money. It was the business ties of H.W. Bush and his dad and their connections and business ventures with the Saudi government. The Saudi government to this day has over $1 trillion in American banks. They own almost 10% of the U.S. economy right now. So it's very, very interesting. And the bin Laden family are at the helm of this. If you all remember when they grounded the flights, let me go back into the comments and see what you guys are saying. Remember when they grounded the flights back in 2001, a few days after we were attacked, they grounded all of the flights and nobody, commercial airlines, private companies were all grounded. The FAA wouldn't allow, they closed the airports. Nobody could fly. The only people who got out of here was bin Laden's family. 124 and some members of the Saudi Arabia group. They flew those people out of here. Why? Normally, if you and I or I were to commit a crime, who are the first people they want to talk to is your family. Because your family might know where you are if you're in hiding. They had just came back. Some of the family members of bin Laden had just came back from his son's, Osama bin Laden's son's wedding. They flew over there, flew back. They were in school and all of that stuff. Here's some more of the irony. Bush, for the first 8 months he was in office, and again, those of us who are probably over 30, remember this. His first 8 months, remember he was on vacation all the time, fishing? Trump, it was golf. Bush, it was fishing. He was always gone fishing. He was never in the White House for the first 8 months. In August, he never met with his counterterrorist, the head of the counterterrorism guy, who was in the FBI at that time. He never, he didn't read his security briefings. Does this sound familiar? Do y'all remember when this stuff was going on? I think a lot of us have forgotten, because until I started reading again, I had forgotten all about it. I'm like, yes, I remember that. He wasn't reading his security briefings. He wasn't meeting with his counterterrorism, the FBI, and all of that stuff, reading the reports. There was a report in August that year that said Osama bin Laden is planning to attack America by hijacking airplanes because they all knew he had members of his group and family members in our flight schools at that time. Do y'all remember this? What is Nikki saying? Bush Jr. was avenging his father from the Desert Storm, which was an oil war. Yeah, I mean, that was going on. But the thing of it was, is that he used that as an excuse to attack Saddam Hussein. So that he claimed Saddam Hussein tried to kill his daddy. I don't know. Did anybody ever find any evidence of that? I don't know. But it was an excuse. The whole thing of it was Saddam Hussein nor his people had ever attacked the United States or threatened to attack us. Now, they might have had some money issues with all of the business dealings that was going on. But he certainly was not responsible for 9/11, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. No evidence whatsoever. Yeah, exactly, Shirley. I've never seen any evidence that actually was true. They blamed it on him. They didn't want to go after something. Because here's what happened. The defense contractors, Daddy Bush and Junior Bush, were both on the board of the Carlyle Group. Y'all remember them talking about the Carlyle Group? They had financed one of Junior Bush's failed oil businesses back in the day or whatever. And he had money ties to them. They were the guy who it was one of his ex-military buddies. He was on staff with the Bin Laden family group here in America. His job was to invest in American businesses. That's what he did for the Bin Laden family. The Bin Laden family is the second richest family in Saudi Arabia. And so they have this guy, James Bath. Let's see what Nikki is saying. Bush Jr. went into Iraq for oil, not weapons of mass destruction. They didn't have any mass destruction. They didn't have any weapons. They used to get on TV. Even Colin Powell got on TV before this happened and said that Saddam Hussein has never been able to amass any type of nuclear weapons or anything, and that he was no threat to us. Condoleezza Rice said it too. Hello, hello, hello. Am I saying your name correctly? Chimobi? Chimobi, welcome, welcome, welcome. Tell me where you're from, Chimobi. So this guy, this ex-military buddy of Junior Bush, was on the board of the Saudi group, the Bin Laden group, who... His job was to invest into American businesses. And so they would invest into heavily regulated industries like healthcare, telecommunications, and mostly defense. They held a lot of defense contractors. As a matter of fact, he not only invested in Junior Bush, he also was there. The Bin Ladens was also invested. Remember this? Halliburton did Cheney's company. Right? And you see how what's happening with Liz Cheney right now and how they're all turning on her in the Republican Party. The history is so important. It's so... Listen, if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. That's just what it is. Her daddy made all his money with the Halliburton Group, these defense contracts. So the Carlyle Group owns United Defense. They make the armored trucks that we use to fight in the wars and whatever weaponry that we have and things like that. They make all this stuff, these defense contractors. Well, Bush's daddy and all of them was on the board. As a matter of fact, Daddy Bush stayed on the board of the Carlyle Group even 2 years after he left office. He was the only president before he died in U.S. history that continued to get daily CIA reports after he left office. He never stopped getting them from what I can see. They all have the right to do that, but nobody ever did it but Daddy Bush. So this Carlyle Group, who's owned by the Bin Laden family, they have defense contracts. The Bushes are in business with them. So what do? They start a war and pick Saddam Hussein. He was the lucky winner, who they decided to direct, to target, and let Bin Laden go. If you all remember correctly, Bin Laden was given to, they didn't even look for Bin Laden. Not only did they fly his family out of here, out of the States, took his nieces and nephews and stuff out of our universities and stuff and flew them back to Saudi Arabia to quote unquote protect them. They also didn't look for Bin Laden. It was two months later. He had a two-month leeway in getting away and going to hide. So what happened? They start this war. These defense contractors, the Carlyle Group, they said in December, because they went public, they took the company public right after the 9/11 attacks. So they kept hemming and hawing. Junior Bush kept getting on TV lying to the people. Aren't you going to look for Bin Laden? Oh, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing the other. But it's Saddam Hussein who has the weapons of mass destruction. He kept feeding this to the public. Then they had this orange and red stuff going on, controlling the population with fear. They slipped through this Patriots Act. In the meantime, they're taking their companies, their defense companies, public. So by December of 2001, the Carlyle Group in one day made $237 million. Now, what has happened all of these years later? It has cost the United States $300 million a day for the past 20 years to keep that sham war going on over there in Afghanistan for people that never did anything to us. $300 million a day is what that war has cost us. And because people are not aware of the history, they are now attacking Biden for putting an end to this madness. What is Nikki saying? Nikki says it was a betrayal to our country when he lied about his intentions with Iraq. Absolutely. Michael Moore calls Bush a war criminal. Say y'all to be in jail. The big lie. The big lie started 20 years ago. We have been directed towards Trump and his antics and his whole playbook, but he got it from Bush. Not to say it's right. It's just to say, this is where this stuff is coming from. That's why people don't trust, you know, the government and what's going on. That's why the Republican Party is doing half the stuff they're doing. Remember the 2000 election, the controversy, the big scandal with Bush and Gore? See, we forget about all of that stuff. Bush's cousin was on the Fox News desk. All the other networks had called Gore for Florida, and then here come Fox News with Bush won Florida. Threw everybody off. And it started that whole debacle to the point where the Supreme Court ended up deciding our election rather than the voters. Most people say to this day that that was illegal. But the Supreme Court, all of Daddy Bush's friends, is the one who put Bush, Junior Bush, in office. The people didn't vote for him. Remember, they egged his car on his inauguration day. Remember, he couldn't do the traditional, you know how they walk to the White House, the newly elected president and the first lady walked to the White House. Remember, Bush couldn't get out the car because they were egging, they were rioting and egging his car. I totally forgot all about all of this stuff. It's very interesting how that we have forgotten the history and how these things, they play the same games on us over and over and over and over again. It never stops. It never stops. And because we forget, yes, I vaguely remember that. Yeah, they had this car. He couldn't get out and do the walk. And remember, we felt the same way about him that we felt about Trump. We got to a point we were so sick of Trump's antics, we were willing to do anything to get him out of there. And he should have been voted out. But the thing about it is that if we don't recognize this stuff, that's why I thought it was important that we revisit this aspect of the 9/11 attacks. You know, it's not that we are not concerned about all of these families who were devastated by the loss of their loved ones and things like that. And I think those people are still fighting the government to get benefits and stuff like that. Anybody know what's going on with that part of the 9/11 anniversary? What is going, anybody know what's going on, if the government has ever, I know that they did get some monies or something, but I believe that they are still fighting for certain things all these years later. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting how we forget about all of these things. You know, even when we talk about the vaccines and all of that stuff, you know, there is a reason why people are the way that they are. Now, that is not to say I still believe in the vaccine. I do, personally. But what I am saying is that we have to, you know, there is a reason why people feel the way that they feel and are doing some of the things that they are doing. They're talking about attacking the Capitol again on September the 18th. They're putting up fencing and all of that stuff. All of this stuff. See, in 9/11 started the white rage towards the Arabs. Remember, everybody was discriminating towards Arab people and calling them terrorists and all of that. This was long before Trump got on TV talking about the China virus and causing people to discriminate against Asians. This is all the same playbook. It's all the same game. It's a political calculation, is what I'm saying. And that's what I want us to get out of our talk today. All of this is a political calculation. They stoke fear. You know, this is why people don't believe that the virus is as dangerous as it is. I mean, even now, even the data is saying, you know, you got less than 1% of people that actually die from the virus. That doesn't mean it's not real. I was looking at Roland Martin yesterday, and they had funeral directors on there. There's a epidemic of funeral directors who are losing their lives to COVID handling those bodies. What is Shirley saying? Yes, it is control. It's control. And they've been running this game on us forever. This is just, you know, a look at one incident, one situation. But this is very real. And I encourage everyone to go back and take a look at some of these and look at the history of some of these things, because these are things that I guess we're not going to take any phone calls today. I'm going to run an ad and then I'm going to let you guys go. But, you know, go back and look at these histories and let's educate ourselves about where a lot of this stuff comes from. Trump wasn't the first to create a big lie. Bush started it. Bush started it. He started it. He created a whole scenario. And it was about, and the thing about it is, I like what Michael Moore said. Michael Moore said, these people ain't trying to control the world and some big conspiracy to, you know, this and that and the other. They just making money. That's all it's about. It's about money. They sent all of those children over there. And I say children because We look at all of the military members whose lives were lost, tragically, young, poor kids, a lot of them white, most of them. Come back, limbs missing, if they make it out of there, from this one war in Afghanistan. And we wonder why on January the 6th, the young lady that got shot in the neck and killed and some of the other people that was in the insurrection crowd were ex-military members. Because they came back hating the government for what they did to them. They were over there. I remember them interviewing them while they were in Afghanistan. And they were like, the government got some explaining to do because these people are of no, they have no defense. They are of no threat to us. They were mad as hell that they were over there fighting for what? For Bush and his family to make money? Cheney's? And the Bin Ladens and all of these other Saudis who own this huge percentage of our economy, healthcare, all of this stuff. Aetna is owned by the Carlyle Group. Come on, y'all. We got to follow the money. It's something to talk about. It's something to think about. These big conglomerates, these healthcare companies and all of that stuff. You know, that's why I said, you know, it's, see, this is what makes me say even more, you know, wanting to advocate for people to get the vaccines, because you don't want to end up in these hospitals. We have, and we talked about this last year. Do y'all remember this, Shirley? Because when we were talking about the mask and stuff, when COVID first broke out and we were all in quarantine, we only have our health care. The reason why our health care system gets so overwhelmed is because in most countries, they have 10 beds per 1,000 people in their hospitals. We have two beds per 1,000. So you don't want to end up sick with COVID and in the hospital and can't get treated. Or they got to make a life or death decision as to whose case is more severe and who's going to get the few ventilators they have. What does Shirley say? I do remember. Yes, we talked about this. This is so serious. It's so serious, guys. It's so serious. I want to run this ad. I want to run this ad really quick. And I'll see if you guys have any comments, and then we'll come right back. Let's do this. Run these couple of ads really quickly. Okay, we are sharing.
Hi, my name is Lori Blockport. I'm the owner of LACC Child Care Academy, and welcome to a whole new world of early childhood development.
From ages 6 weeks to 12 years.
I thought I had it on the screen, but I do need to put the ad on the screen, don't I? So let's take a look at this ad for the LACC Child Care Academy really quick.
Hi, my name is Lori Blockport. I'm the owner of LACC Child Care Academy, and welcome to a whole new world of early childhood development.
From ages 6 weeks to 12 years, offering licensed 24-hour care in our state-of-the-art facility with Matrix Human Services trained staff, including an RN with an isolation medical area, camera monitoring, high-scope curriculum STEM program, and a natural outdoor playground. Call us today to schedule a tour at 313-345-3744.
All right, that was Lori Clark Horton and the LACC Child Care Academy here in Detroit, Michigan. They are on Wyoming at 6 Mile in Detroit, and a wonderful child care center that has been not just expanded, but also remodeled to accommodate for the COVID-19. They have great precautions in place for your children if you need not just affordable, but safe child care for your children. Who else? What does Nikki say? Love the safety precautions with the babies. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she spent a lot of money getting that place totally remodeled. It doesn't even look the same in there. And they have a beautiful playground. They even have a community garden where the children plant greens and different vegetables and things like that. So she's really doing a great work over there. I also want to run the ad for the Nikita Nicole, Nikita Nicole's podcast. I keep wanting to call it the Nikita Nicole podcast, but it is Nikita Nicole's podcast called The Spots We Miss. So I want to make sure that we run her ad as well. Her show is absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I'm not saying that because she's a friend of mine either. I really do enjoy the show, the programming. The topics are thought-provoking, the spiritual nourishment that you get, and the expansion of your knowledge base and all of those things that you will get from participating in this podcast. I mean, like, it's really, really good. It's really good. And she's bringing on, she had on somebody from Turks and Caicos about a week or so ago. So talking about being man and advocating for the masculinity of men and men talking about their perspectives on relationships and things like that. So it's really, really, really good. And then we had our little piece too. We had a couple of weeks of being woman as well. But she is doing a phenomenal job. Y'all better catch her while she's on the podcast, because she's going to be public speaking and all of that stuff. You ain't going to be able to afford her before it's all over with. Listen, Hear me when I tell you. This is the spot we missed. We'll be back in just a moment.
The ability to find a good support group, find even one person that you trust, tell them what you need, tell them what you need help with, tell them how you're feeling, and you'd be surprised. They might.
All right, that is Nikita Nicole and the Spots We Miss podcast every Saturday on YouTube and Facebook Live at 4 o'clock. Join her. So, listen, if you guys don't, I'm so sorry that I was not able to get the phone lines open today. Let's see. Shirley said, I love the show too. Yeah, it's really good. That podcast is like, is off the hook. It's really good. I enjoy it. I sit and cook and all kinds of stuff while I watch the podcast. And I have to stop and type in my comments and all of that stuff. It's really good. It's really engaging. She's bringing some real life application stuff that you can apply to your life right now. So, you know, it's really good, and it's going to help. You know, a lot of things are going on. We're going to talk about some of that stuff with mental health. The opiate crisis is back, and it's hitting the Black community quite heavily. We're going to talk about that. This guy, Michael K. Williams, the actor from The Wire and some other things, OD'd on cocaine. I didn't even realize they were lacing the cocaine with the fentanyl now. I thought it was just a heroin thing, but... and then some comedians, there was several comedians that died in that same week, same deal, lacing, they're getting a hold to cocaine that is laced with the fentanyl and all of that stuff. So the opiate crisis is peaking, and it's peaking in our community. So we got to deal with that. We got to look at vaccine hesitancy and get the public educated. And you know, that's why even when with our conversation today, I really wanted to talk about this kind of stuff to see how we, you know, there's a reason why we get to the place that we get. And we kind of like, because even I was saying, you know, you got to fight people to protect their children. They don't want to wear a mask to school and all of that stuff. But when they deceive, openly and deliberately deceive the public, the government, that is, in this case, then you give life and these little extremist movements, whether it's white supremacists or whether it's conspiracy theorists, you give birth to that kind of stuff. This stuff is not coming out of nowhere. I'd rather understand where it's coming from so that when we advocate to our friends and our families and our communities for people to go ahead and take the vaccine because we have such a big hesitancy problem, then we can talk to them where they are because we understand it. Other than that, we just think they're crazy, and they're not necessarily. This stuff has been birthed out of other things. And it was just amazing to me as I started off in one train of thought in terms of how I was going to honor and commemorate the 9/11 tragedy. But when it was all said and done, I was like, wow, you know, this is a whole other perspective that needs to be discussed. Because, you know, they had the tributes and they did the Ground Zero thing and they rebuilt it and it's beautiful to give honor to those who were lost tragically in this sense. It was just senseless. It really was senseless. So, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, take a look and educate ourselves so that we can be more compassionate. When we have the proper information, it gives us more compassion towards people. It really does. Because you can better understand where they're coming from, and you can talk to them on a level that is not condescending, that is not accusatory, and you can help them better. You're better able to help them sometimes. So this is why I wanted to go this route today. I appreciate everyone that was here, and we had a packed house today, y'all, about 7 people. So thank you all for tuning in. And definitely please hit the like button to help my algorithms. They will push the video out more on the respective platforms. If you would kindly and graciously give us a thumbs up. And I'm asking everyone to please, if you have not, go over to the YouTube channel and subscribe. I'm still trying to get 1,000 subscribers. When we are able to get the a certain amount of subscribers and a certain amount of watch time hours, then we are able to monetize our platforms, and it helps us to be able to bring these things, this information, and have these conversations, bring information to the public for free. And I want to always be able to do that. It's really, 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 really important. What is Shirley is saying? Good show, very knowledgeable and informative. Thank you so much. I hope that you all get something out of this. I appreciate you guys so much. But Shirley and Nikki has been supporting me for the past 3 years, and some other folks, Tanya and Kim and Lori and. You know, I have some ride or die folks that just stick with me and has been my day oneers. They have always been a great support system. So I appreciate it and I enjoy talking to you today. As always, I am going to go ahead and let you all go. So enjoy the rest of your day, and I will hopefully, Lord's willing, see you guys on next week. Where is my closeout? There it is. All right. I got it. All right. Have a good Sunday, everybody. See you next week.